Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hope everyone had a great and productive week. As always, I am joined with my co-host, Austin. Man, how you doing, man?
Doing good. We're almost through March Madness. It's a weird time.
Yeah, the men's tournament has been crazy. A lot of upsets. I really can't believe. Or I'm sure a lot of the ACC fans are very happy that Alabama beat North Carolina. Even though we still got some other teams in there like Duke and NC State. So we'll just have to see what's next after that.
Yeah, I'm not happy that there's still this many ACC teams left. But it's been interesting. At this point, I'm just hoping UConn wins it all. If they lose to Illinois, I don't know who I'm going to root for the rest of the way.
Yeah, at this point, I will probably say UConn's going to repeat. I initially had Houston winning. I thought they were going to come out on top, but obviously – Friday night with the loss of Jamal Shedd, who ended up missing or who ended up leaving the game, obviously Duke was able to pull away with it. So at this point, it's got to be UConn, in my opinion.
It's crazy. Before the tournament, I was talking with someone who also had Houston winning. I'm like, I just don't trust their offense, because if Jamal Shedd has an off night, who's scoring for them?
That's true.
Little did I know he was going to get hurt against Duke, and you know we saw what their offense became. But just a tough situation. I feel terrible for Jamal Shedd. He's an incredible player, but just a bad way for that to end.
Yeah, easily their best player. And even last night, whenever he did go down, you know, you can just tell the offense was just not the same moving forward. I mean, even though they did lose by a possession, but it was just an opportunity for Duke to take, and they definitely did that. So once again, give credit to them. But we got to talk about our team, because some big news was just broken. Baba Miller has officially entered the transfer portal, which I believe myself and neither of you are very surprised. I talked about it on the first episode. I know that you weren't here for that, but I was really questioning whether Florida State would be the right situation for Baba to continue to go through moving forward. But now we found out that he is entering the transfer portal. And I read an article this morning, and it basically said that he's going to try to test the waters and figure out, you know, whether he can go into the NBA draft or just find another school. So what is your initial reaction to Baba entering the transfer portal?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not surprised whatsoever. It just felt, especially for the last month and a half of the season, that he wasn't very happy on the basketball court. He wanted to play a certain way, and Florida State wanted to play him a different way. And you could just tell that those were clashing a little bit. So to see him, you know, enter the portal, test NBA waters, not surprising in the least. Scouts have always loved his size and his potential and the tools that he does have in the tool shed. But it's fair to wonder if Florida State was ever going to get him to realize those skills. I just think it makes sense for both parties. Get someone in on Florida State side that can, you know, shoot the ball a little bit better, is a little bit more willing to be that kind of hybrid Jonathan Isaac type player that can defend inside and out. Just seemed like Baba didn't really want to play that, and he's going to try and find a situation that will fit his play style better.
I agree 100%. I kind of noticed, even when we watching throughout the season, because for people who don't know, Baba, I believe, missed half of last season, his freshman year, mm-hmm. due to the NCAA rules. So this was his first full season with the team. And one thing that I'll say is that watching throughout the season, you could just tell that his style, at least the style that he wanted to play, and Florida State style, were just not going to be able to coexist. You know, he's more of a free-flowing finesse player in a way. You know, he loves to put the ball on the floor. You know, he loves to play along the outside. He can also play inside as well, but you know, he just has a free flowing game where he can show a combination of the ball handling, the shooting, just a little bit everything in general. So I just kind of noticed that. I don't know if that was a style that was going to work in Florida State's favor. And I'm not saying that he had a bad season, to say the least. I mean, he definitely had his high moments, but I just feel like we never were able to see the full package of what he was able to display as a whole. So yeah, with this transfer, with him announcing that he was going to transfer, it didn't surprise me one bit. I wonder what schools will be interested in him. And I also saw somebody else say too, you know, should he go back to his hometown of Spain and just, you know, play there? You know, so who knows?
Yeah, I think every option's on the table for him right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back overseas, just because, you know, that international style of play is just going to fit him better. He's been playing that his whole life. And you see that oftentimes with international players that come to college. Takes them a little bit to get adjusted, if they ever do get adjusted, with the play style and the language barriers and everything like that. I'm very fascinated to see where this ends up. you talk about just a tumultuous career at Florida State, where you talked about a suspended half the season last year for ineligible or impermissible benefits. It was a really BS case where years before he was ever considering going to college, an agent paid for his flight to come for a training camp in the States. Once his family found out it wasn't allowed, they paid it back, was still suspended half the season. The NCAA originally suspended him for the whole season. Florida State fought it back down to half the season. He first got to campus and he was dealing with shin splints, so he only got 3 or 4 practices in. Then he had tonsillitis a few games after he was eligible. Just a very, very up and down roller coaster career in Tallahassee for Bobby Miller. I wish it worked out. I know he wishes it had worked out. And sometimes it's just best for both parties to say, hey, I'm glad we tried this, but it's not working. Let's just move on and see if we can both improve out of this.
I agree. It was definitely an experience that just didn't work out. And I mean, it didn't hurt the try. It definitely didn't hurt the try. And like I said, he definitely had his good moments, especially throughout his sophomore campaign, but it just wasn't able to work out, as a whole. But let me ask you this though, since we're, on the foreign players, do you think that hurts a lot of players when they play, when they play a certain style, especially overseas throughout the majority of their high school or the basketball journey, and then they have to come into a D1 school and then have to pretty much change the whole style?
I mean, it just depends on the player. Some people are willing to adapt to the situation and willing to, I don't want to say willing to be coached in the connotation that Bobby Miller wasn't willing to be coached, but they're willing to change their play style to fit a certain system. And, sometimes coaches will adapt the system to the player. I don't know the exact specifics here, but it just felt like Miller wanted to be on the perimeter. That's how he plays in Spain, where he's got the ball in his hands, he's taking shots, and Florida State, like I said, they wanted to use him as that kind of hybrid perimeter post guy where he can score inside, score outside, defend inside, defend outside. And, maybe just Baba didn't want to do that. I've seen some people say, well, then why did Florida State realize this as they were recruiting him? Well, because you see the skill sets. I mean, he's got, like I said, he's got every tool in the tool shed. He just has to realize that. And any coach would have taken him coming out of Spain. And there's a reason that he chose between Florida State and Gonzaga. Those are two very good programs, at least at the time he committed. So I'm not upset at all that it happened. And hopefully he can find a better situation.
I agree 100%. So let me ask you this. So we talked about Jerry Ding, at least like the past frequent episodes. So do you believe that this situation with Baba heading out could give Florida State a higher chance at landing Jerry Ding?
Absolutely. With a guy leaving one of the mid majors in Hampton, he's going to be looking for playing time at a high major level. I won't say he can separate into Baba Miller's role, because I think that's Bol Bowen's to lose. If he makes a progression, we think he can make this offseason.
I agree.
But he can absolutely come in and play, 18 to 22 minutes, knock down a few threes, defend, play with some physicality, and, have a two-man tandem with him and Bowen at your four, and maybe even some small ball rotations with Bowen at the five, depending on how he fills out. But I think that's a rotation that at least has a higher floor than it did last year, because there was a lot of up and downs with Miller this last season. I mean, he had a great game against Wake Forest with 14 points, 3 blocks. But he also had a lot of disappointing games. Like the one that stick out was the one against USF, where he was, 4 of 13 from the free throw line. And you could just tell he was in his head. So I think getting a guy like Dane at least raises the floor a little bit.
I agree. Somebody that is an upperclassman who has that experience and, just kind of, they kind of share some similarities, but they're also kind of different in their own way. I think Jerry Dane is definitely shown to be more efficient, especially on the outside of the floor. Mm-hmm. So I believe that his style could definitely fit, but I agree with you 100%, especially with the progression of Taylor Bol Bowen, especially, with how much he has been able to improve throughout this season. I think that he can definitely step into that spot. I just feel like, I feel like Taylor Bol Bowen's style of play is just definitely more fit for Leonard Hamilton's system. And you could tell why, even in certain stretches of the game, where he was to get more minutes. I mean, there was a few games where he was in a closing lineup as well in the game. So Taylor Bol Bowen definitely has to step into that role. And I believe that he definitely will as well, but also, but also adding a guy like Jerry Dang, will definitely help as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Granted, we have to see that progression from Bol Bowen. This is a lot of projection of what we think he can be next season, but there's no reason he can't take those steps. And if he does, he's going to be a tremendous fit in what Leonard Hamilton wants to do.
Exactly. So which situation do you think is probably best in Baba Miller's interest? Entering his name into the NBA draft, or just deciding to transfer to just another school?
You know, it's tough. We've talked about how it's a really weak draft class this year, and there's a lot of teams that have multiple second round picks and can just say, hey, let's take a bet on his upside, you know, stash him in the G League or stash him overseas for a year. But I think another year of college would do him a lot of wonders. Now, what college that is, I have no idea. You know, this just came out yesterday, so way too early for any potential interests or anything like that. But I do think going to college, just refining some of those tools will help him a lot. And then just see where you're at next year, because that size and that skill set's just not going to go away.
100%. I don't know if he's ready for the NBA as of yet. I mean, there's nothing wrong with testing the waters, you know, definitely to see, you know, where your name will be and where you'll be placed and what situation you could possibly land in. But yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead.
To be fair, there's a lot of people that enter the draft that aren't ready for the NBA and that year or two of development in the G League before they are ready for that step. So who really knows? And you know, the NBA is a much different game than college, and so is international. I do think the NBA is starting to wander into that international style of play, so I think it could fit him a lot better. But we'll just see what happens as he tests this process, gets feedback from scouts and teams and organizations.
You make a valid point there, because I mean, the NBA at least has been transitioning to more of this international style of play, especially now with a lot of the guys coming from overseas, you know, whether it's a Nikola Jokic or a Luka Doncic or whoever it is, you know, being able to come over from their home countries and just being able to take over the game. So that could be that type of transition that could possibly benefit Boba Mill, especially, you know, with his play style. And then, of course, you know, you see the evolution of modern day big men in the NBA, and just watching how they could play on the perimeter, they can play on the outside, or they can play on the inside as well. They can pass, you know, they can do like a whole bunch of things, run the offense. So, you know, that could benefit Boba Mill tremendously, you know, possibly going to the NBA and then, you know, just having a few years of development and then possibly finding the right situation. So who knows? But Boba Miller, I wish you nothing but the best. It was a very interesting 2 years at Florida State. Unfortunately, I don't think it worked out in his favor, but we'll just have to see what's next for him moving forward.
I always had great experiences with him. You know, I talked with him a lot at ACC tip-off here in Charlotte, and it's always gracious, very easy to talk to. You know, I could reach out to him at any time, and he'd usually get back to me in a reasonable time. And I told him I'm going to be a fan of you wherever you go. Just sad it didn't work out here.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm definitely going to support him wherever he goes or whatever decision he does make, you know, besides, you know, leaving Florida State. But before we get out of here, we have some other news as well. James Madison player Terrence Edwards Jr. is expected to visit Florida State this upcoming week. Played 4 years at James Madison this past season, averaged 17 points a game, a little over 4 rebounds, and shot nearly 43% from the floor. And then, of course, James Madison made the NCAA tournament, made it to the second round, but unfortunately lost to Duke. So talk about Terrence Edwards as a player and what to expect in his visit.
Yeah, this is a big one. I mean, we've talked about the three players they have coming in for visits, with Zach Anderson, whose visit got delayed a few days, Jerry Dane, who we just mentioned there, and then Terrence Edwards. I mean, Southern Conference Player of the Year for a really, really good James Madison team. Won, 31 games this year? 32 games, sorry. And Florida State needs players that have won. You know, you can get the scoring, you can get the shooting, but if you don't get players that know how to win, it's going to cause issues. He knows how to win. He told me he's going to be on campus on Monday, and then he's instantly going to Louisville, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday. So a quick visit, but no, if I'm Florida State's coaching staff, I am not letting him leave campus. Because no matter what happens with Florida State this offseason, Terrence Edwards has to be your guy. You know, whether you get Jameer Watkins and you're starting Edwards at your two and Watkins at your three, or Watkins moves on and you're starting Edwards at your three, it's a seamless fit. He's great inside the arc. You know, like I said, 17 points per game. A lot of that comes at the rim and in the paint. He's a very willing passer. I believe he had an assist rate north of 20% this year, which is tremendous for an off guard, really. I think this would be a perfect fit. I really think this would be. Florida State has made it clear he's a priority ever since he entered the portal. And you know, like I said, hopefully they don't let him get the chance to go tour Louisville and their new coach with Pat Kelsey, who I think is a tremendous coach, great energy. Hopefully he chooses the elder statesman and Leonard Hamilton, but we'll just see how that visit goes. But this is a huge one.
Yeah, Florida State's got to find a way to lock him in. I went this morning and watched, you know, a few of his highlights, and he's a great all-around player. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of James Madison this year. I watched a few games. Obviously, there are the tournament games, especially the second round game against Duke. But he does a lot of great things on the floor, and you know his scoring is tremendous. You know, he can play with or without the ball. He can move well without the basketball. Come off of pin downs. You know, run baseline. Do have backdoor cuts. And then, of course, you know, with his ability to just, you know, score off the dribble as well is really incredible. But also one thing that does stands out to me is his passing and his unselfishness, you know, being able to find open players, being able to find players in the dunker spot, you know, for easy finishes. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a really high IQ player, and he understands how to make the right plays at the right time. And the one thing, like, you know, as I've been able to think about this whole situation with Terrence Edwards possibly coming to Florida State, I just started thinking about, what if Jahmyr Walker does decide to dip out this year and leave, you know, enter his name into the NBA draft? That could be a great situation for Terrence Edwards to step in. I believe that he could thrive as their best player, you know, next season if he does decide to come to the program. You know, I think that combination, and then, of course, you talk about the other guys, you know, they just signed Daquan Davis, which we talked about last episode. So this could be a new revamped Florida State program with Terrence Edwards possibly leading the way. So who knows?
I totally agree. I mean, just tremendous high IQ player. You mentioned his passing ability. I mentioned his assist rate north of 20%. He does such a great job of recognizing where the double team is coming from, because when you score 17 points per game, you're going to get double teamed pretty frequently.
Exactly.
And he does a great job of recognizing that, finding the open passer. There was one pass, I forget what game it was, but he got doubled pretty much right as he crossed half court and threw a bullet right underneath the rim for a wide open dunk. And I was like, wow. Florida State could use a guy like that. And, you know, he could play on the ball. He could play off the ball. You know, in 22-23, he shot close to 46% from three on over five attempts. This year, he was down to 34%. But again, he has the ball in his hands a lot more. He's taking a lot more off the dribble threes. And he still took seven attempts per game from three. So 34% on that kind of usage, you live with it. Above 80% from the free throw line this year on over 10 attempts at the free throw line. So he's willing to get to the basket, willing to be physical. Yeah, Florida State needs players like this that know how to win. They're not afraid. They're physical. You know, no more of these guys that are getting pushed around and being soft and don't know how to finish and play. This is a guy Florida State absolutely has to get, at least in this early stage of the transfer portal.
100% agree. I 100% agree. I didn't even realize that he shot nearly 46% from three, you know, as a junior, which was just incredible. You know, so it clearly shows that, you know, he takes a lot of high quality shots. He just makes the right plays on offense. And I think he's such a dynamic guard that, you know, he can really change the game and, you know, just change the flow of offense for the Florida State team moving forward. And even if Jahmyr does decide to stay, Jahmyr Walker does decide to stay, I think that, you know, those two as your wing players would just be flat out incredible. You know, those are two guys who could play on, those are two guys, you know, who could play off of one another. You know, they're great playmakers, great passers. They can also, I mean, obviously Jahmyr Walker is in my opinion, one of the best defenders in ACC, but, you know, also Terrence Edwards also shows, you know, to be able to have some good moments on the end of the floor as well. So, you know, I would love that combination if it were to happen. I don't know if it will. I mean, but if you ask me, I do believe that Jahmyr will stay, but even if he doesn't decide to stay, I think that Terrence Edwards will be able to take over this program, you know, from the beginning.
Yeah, we'll see. The Watkins stuff is up in the air. There's a lot of stuff floating out there right now. I do want to correct myself real quick. I was looking at his per 100 possessions numbers. He shot 46% on about 2.5 attempts per three his junior year, and then 34% on about four attempts this year. So just wanted to correct that real quick. But yeah, I agree. Whether you have Watkins or not, this is a guy that could play with him and alongside him or without him as the potential number one option next year. And either way, it's going to work. Obviously, if you have Watkins there, that's a really high floor, high ceiling wing tandem that's going to cause a lot of issues in the ACC. I hope Watkins comes back, and I hope Edwards is there with him, but we'll just have to see how his visit goes this upcoming week.
I agree. Monday's going to be a big day. It's going to be a really big day for in Tallahassee, and we'll just see how it goes. I really hope that it goes well, man. But, you know, that's going to wrap up this episode. Austin, once again, appreciate you for joining with me, man. Definitely let the people know where to follow you, any recent articles that you may have released, and any other news.
Yes, sir. @Twitter @EasyVZNG. And then we're back up and running on Sports Illustrated. So si.com/FSU/basketball. You'll find all our stuff there. Obviously, Baba News is out yesterday. I'll be releasing a transfer board that should be out by the time this episode comes out. So you can see everyone that Florida State's talked to, all the visits they have coming in. And then I'll be updating it throughout the offseason as guys commit elsewhere, because a couple targets have already come off the board elsewhere. But big offseason ahead, and I'm trying to stay on top of all these transfers that we're seeing.
Yes, sir. Please be on the lookout for all that people. As for myself, follow me on X/Twitter at NickAndreATR. Make sure to follow me on Chop Chat as well, as I write recent articles. One of my recent articles covering Sarah Bajetti, the women's team, as she has now officially entered her college career. So please make sure to check that out. But once again, we appreciate you guys for listening in, and we hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.